Father, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity to gather around your word and worship you and flow in the Holy Ghost and follow you, Lord, in this day and this time and in this season that we live in. Because, Father, we realize that there's things that's going on in the physical, material world. There's things that going on that people don't understand. But, Father, you understand. Lord, and you know exactly what's happening. And, Father, I thank you tonight that you make my tongue as a pen of a ready writer. Lord, I'll speak as the very oracles of God, administer with the ability only which you can give. Father, we thank you, Lord, for that anointing and that equipping. Oh, Lord, be careful to give you the glory, the honor, and praise for all good things. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. You know, people are wondering, you know, around the world, you know, what's going on, but especially in our nation. People wonder what's happening here. Why is this going on? Why are we having problems in the political arena? You know, why are we having problems in the economic arena? You know, what's going on? What, we're having problems in the social arena, in the spiritual arena, in the church. Why is all these problems going on? What's happening in the world? The answer is so simple that you just trip over it every day. The simple answer is there's a war between good and evil, between God's influence and the devil's influence in this earth. Yes, yes. And I'm just going to go ahead and boldly proclaim something to you. The devil is not going to take over as long as the church is here, and as long as you are here, and as long as we're exercising our true spiritual authority. Yes, Brother Randy, things look bleak and things look bad, you know, in our economy. They're talking about 19, possibly 21 trillion in debt. Well, God is still God, you know what I mean? And we are still victorious in the church. So we cannot allow the enemy to put into our minds and into our thought life a spirit of fear that we're not going to make it. Because that seems to be what has gripped the church world today. The church as a whole has been gripped by fear. And a lot of people, I know this is a prayer seminar, and we're going to talk about prayer, but people today are praying out of fear instead of faith. Don't pray in fear, pray in faith. Pray from the standpoint of victory. You know, the battle has already been won. And yes, we know that the devil is going to kick up the dust and kick up his heels and kick up a fuss. But still at the same time, the church is victorious. And we're not going under. We're going over in the name of Jesus. Don't pray out of fear. Pray out of faith. Don't pray out of fear. Pray out of faith. That's the Holy Ghost saying that. I hadn't thought it up. That's Him. Turn to Job chapter 1. I said, when did you get this message? Just now. I'm telling you, just now. Because I had been meditating and praying and going a certain direction. But this is where the Holy Ghost is going. We're following Him. Yes, we want to pray today. But we don't pray from a standpoint of fear. We want to pray from a standpoint of faith. We want to pray from a standpoint of victory. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't persevere or have to press into things or have to face opposition in our prayers, but we still stand victorious, adamantly opposed to Satan, declaring that the Word of God is true and it will be just like God said it would be, and there's nothing or nobody that's going to stop it. God's will, and I'm not saying we don't have authority over human spirits, you understand, but we got authority over every evil work in this world. But many people today in the church world are praying out of fear. Not everybody. We thank God we got people praying, knows how to pray. But we don't want to pray from a standpoint of fear, because fear is, somebody said, is faith working in reverse. You know, whatever Satan can get you to fear, he'll bring it to pass in your life. Whatever God can get you to have faith for based on His Word, He'll bring it to pass in your life. So we don't want to pray from a standpoint of fear. So we want to look, where is Job at? It's in the Bible. I think I had it here somewhere a while ago. Here it is. Job, J-O-B. If you need a job, here we go. The book of Job. But Job is a good example of an individual, and I got this by revelation, you know, and I'm not belittling Mr. Job because I don't want him to get after me one day, you know. But Job had a problem earlier on that God had to deal with him about. If you go through the book of Job and read it to the end, then everything turned out good for him. But why did Job have all the problems he did? Because Job actually prayed the problems on himself. Job prayed the trouble on himself. What do you mean prayed it on himself? He was actually praying in fear instead of faith, and we'll see it right here in the Bible. And as we're praying, this is a prayer seminar, we want to make sure that we're on the right side of prayer and the right side of God's Word when we pray. We don't want to pray in fear. We want to pray in faith. Thank you, Lord, for it. Amen. Says here in Job chapter 1, says, there was a man in the land of Uz. It sounds like that yellow brick road thing, you know. But anyway, whose name was Job. And notice this. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Notice that all about Job. This is what the Bible says about Job. But you can be a good person. And you can have good intentions and still not praying according to biblical guidelines and have problems in your life. Problems hang around at times, and problems actually come on us because we don't pray from the proper perspective. We pray out of fear. We're praying, I hope this don't happen. I'm praying. It's not going to happen if we pray like we should. Isn't that right? If the Word of God is true, isn't that right? But notice it said that Job, that man, Job, was perfect. He was upright. He was one that feared God and one that eschewed evil. In other words, he was headed in the right direction. Isn't that right? We could say that. It says, and there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. So that means he's got, what, 10 children. It says, and his substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the what? East. He was the greatest of all the men. In other words, he was the most blessed individual of anybody that lived in that eastern part of the country. Isn't that right? And that's what it said. Now, why was Job blessed? I knew you was going to ask that. It's found in verse 1. Job was a man that was perfect. He was upright. He was one that feared God and he eschewed evil. He met the qualifications for the blessings. You know, when you qualify, God's going to bless you. It don't mean necessarily you got to be perfect in every area, but he was following after God. And as he began to follow after God, the blessings of God began to follow after him. Job wasn't chasing the blessings started chasing him. Isn't that right? And that's the proper attitude about prosperity. We believe in prosperity, but we want it on the right terms. But he was the greatest. In other words, he had more. He was more blessed than anybody around him. That's what the Bible was saying. And it says, and his sons went and feasted in their houses. It says, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning, and he offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. There was 10 of them. For Job said, what? It may be that my sons, talking about his children, have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And what did Job do? Thus did Job continually. He was praying in fear instead of faith. He feared continually that his children were doing wrong things. He feared continually, and he was praying continually, and he said, that they have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And how often did he do it? He done it continually. How do you know? The Bible says so. So Job was praying, but Job's prayers was working, but they were working in the direction of fear. Isn't that right? because we're going to see that he did. His children had problems. He had problems. So we see that Job was having problems, and he was praying in fear instead of faith. Now, let me talk about that for just a moment before I go any further along these lines. I don't believe, and you know this too, being a Christian, I don't believe that Job just got up one morning with this great spirit of fear on him. And he said, well, my children may have sinned, you know, they may have cursed God in their heart. I believe it was a gradual process. I believe the devil just began to whisper thoughts into his mind. You know how he does. He'll whisper lies into your mind. How do you know if it said the devil? If it doesn't agree with the word of God, we know it's not from God. Isn't that right? And of course, we know we can have our own thoughts, but I know the devil can speak to you in what I call first person. He can make you think it's your thought when he put that thought in your mind, and then he wants you to take it up, and you get to thinking, why did I think that? You should rebuke it in the name of Jesus. So I believe over a continual period of time, I don't know how long, more than a week, more than a few weeks, more than a month maybe, more than a few months, but over a period of time, Job's mind was harassed by this spirit, an evil spirit, Satan himself, harassing him, telling him your children may have sinned, they're going to go astray, you're going to lose them all, they're going to live like the devil, they're not going to serve God. And Job should have just rose up and probably, you know, just like we do, probably in the beginning he might have rose up and challenged it. But you know, the devil, he'll just stay right with something. If he sees you'll put up with it and pick it up in your thought life, he'll just stay right with it and start suggesting that thought. He'll tell you, Pastor Burley, your church is going under. Brother Womble, he'll tell you you're not going to make it. Brother Terry, he'll tell you you can't make that payment. You better not stand out there, buddy. And listen, there's a balance to all that, you understand? You want to look before you leap, isn't that right? But if you don't watch it, you can get into a place of being negative in your thought life, and you can pray out of fear and negativity. Is there such a word? I make them up. But anyway, you can pray from that standpoint of praying out of fear like Job did. And again, I believe it was a process. I don't believe it was just one day, bang, he woke up with these thoughts. But he began to pray. And what he did, he done this continually. He prayed for him. He offered up 10 prayers, 10 sacrifices for every one of his children. This he did continually because why? He was afraid, that's the way you can say it, that they had sinned and cursed God in their heart. He was afraid that they was going to disobey God and not going to serve God and what we would call in our day be Christians and grow up serving God. What you do with our children, what we've done with our children, what we've done with our son, and just believe God, pray, yes, and bind evil, whatever, and just see them walk. And many of you have done the same thing. And of course, I know that you can have opposition and challenges in different areas of life. But I'll tell you this, if you pray in fear, the devil will make sure that your prayers come to pass. And that's exactly what happened to Job. But Job got to looking at what was coming on the horizon. He got to listening to everything that was going on and seeing the things that was taking place in his land. No doubt the land around him in his day was corrupt. No doubt that his children did have bad influences by those around them. No doubt. All of that was there. And he began to look at those things more than he did the covenant that he had with God. And he began to look at more of those things and what was happening around him and what was taking place in society around him. He got his eyes off God. When you get your eyes off God, you're going to sink. Remember when Peter was called out of the boat and Jesus said, come. And Peter went to walk on the water, except he can't walk on the water. He walked on the word, C-O-M-E. When Jesus said, come, to me there was enough power in that word to sustain Peter, and all he had to do is just believe in that word. And I'm not belittling Peter. I'm just saying it's a type and shadow of us. You know, we're out there with the winds, waves were boisterous and everything. And Peter was wondering, what in the world's going on? And fear began to grip him. Isn't that right? And as fear began to grip Peter, what happened? He began to sink. Have you ever seen anybody in a swimming pool begin to sink? You go straight under, isn't that right? Or if you're in a lake or a swimming hole, you go straight under. But he began to sink because he feared and he said, Lord, save me. And Jesus reached down and picked him up. But what was Peter doing again? Peter was looking at the circumstances. Peter was looking around at the situation. And if we don't watch it in the church today, we'll begin to look at what's going on around us in society. And I'm telling you, I'm not going to deny that it looks bad. but it can't change the Word of God. It will not change God's Word, and it does not say that I don't have authority in my life or that you don't have authority in your life, because you do. We have the authority. So don't look at what's going on around you. Don't listen to what the devil is saying. Keep your eyes on Jesus. How do you keep your eyes on Jesus? By keeping your eyes on His Word and keeping prayed up in the Holy Ghost. Following the Spirit of God. Don't get like Job did. Don't get like Peter did. Don't get like all of us have got, I'm sure. I don't want to put you in my basket, but I've been there. When it looked like that I couldn't make it. I mean, it looked like I was going under all kind of ways. And I began to look. In fact, I got under the pressure of things one time financially. This has been years ago. I got under the pressure of things financially that I would catch myself gasping for breath. And I knew better than to do this. You know what I mean? I knew better. But I was thinking about, how am I going to get out of this mess? How are we going to go here? You know, because when the trade towers came down, there was such fear that struck the nation, you know. And then the plane crashed up there and they run into the Pentagon, you know. Everybody just started running. Their money went away. And I'm a traveling minister, so I was one of the first ones that was cut off, you know. And we lost 60% of our income in 1 month. I mean sustained, not just 1 month and it just came back. Yeah. No, because we could sustain that, but it went on for months and months and months. And I got to just so concerned about it, got so worried about it. You know what I mean? And I know you're not supposed to worry. I was taught better than to worry. You know what I mean? I was taught to believe God. And so what I did is I just started praying. I started fasting. I started seeking God. Started praying in the Holy Ghost because I was under such a load of that fear and doubt and unbelief and oppression of Satan. What to do? You know, which way am I going to turn? That I got under that, didn't realize what I was doing. That the Bible says, build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So I started praying in the Holy Ghost, you know what I mean? That don't give you faith, but it'll build you up. What little bit you got, you know what I mean? And I began to pray in the Holy Ghost, and I went through that for days and then weeks, you know, just praying in the Holy Ghost. And then things began to turn. I mean, even during that time, some of you might have heard me tell the story. Even my daddy was helping me in the ministry, and I remember one morning, I went out and my daddy was doing something out. We had two different separate buildings then. In Columbus, Georgia, what it is, we had two houses that had been turned to commercial purposes or office purposes in Columbus, Georgia, and we had both of them. And so Daddy was helping me do some work over, and I remember going out one morning because I was in the office real early praying, you know, and I seen my daddy out there picking up a board or something because we was putting some shingles on the house. He was doing it, you know. And so I walked out there, and I said, Daddy, I said, how you doing? He said, you better get out of my way. I'm going to knock you in the head with this board. Well, my daddy was always, my mama's always said he was crazy. You know what I mean? But my daddy had never said anything like that to me in my lifetime. Never. Especially in his latter years. And I realized then, the devil has got my daddy too. Because that wasn't my daddy talking to me. Now, that don't mean he's possessed. But remember, Peter? Yeah. And how he proclaimed Jesus to be the Son of God, then turned around and Jesus had to rebuke the devil, said, get thee behind me. People can be influenced by wrong thinking. My daddy was influenced by wrong thinking. And I knew he meant what he said. You know what I mean? Even though I was his son, he'd have knocked me in the head with that too before. If my daddy told you to shut up, he meant what he said. He wasn't that big a fella. And so I said, oh, Lord. So I went in back in the office. I said, no, ain't no need to say nothing here. No. I went back down, you know, and that fear tried to grip me. And all that stuff that I'd been going through. And I started praying, started believing God. And I finally called my mother, you know, and I said, because I wanted her to know, because I didn't know what state he was going to go home in because he got in his vehicle and left, you know. I didn't know what state he was going to go home because I'd never seen him like that. And I wanted to warn her, you know, I don't know what's wrong with him. Except I believe he's influenced by the powers of darkness. This is my daddy, a Holy Ghost, Pentecostal, tongue-talking man. That I believe he's influenced by the powers of darkness. And so I called her. She said, oh, he's just crazy, that's all. I said, Mama, I said, this goes beyond crazy. I said, there's a spirit behind this. I said, I'm going to take authority over that thing. To make a long story short, all of it worked out in the end. But that's the kind of pressure that the devil will try to do to you to get you to back off of God's word. Because I'm praying in the Holy Ghost and I'm building up myself and I'm getting a breakthrough. You know what I mean? I'm getting a breakthrough and I'm up against it and I'm standing against him. And the enemy's trying to get me in fear. He wanted to get me in fear. Now, not only has it seemed like the whole world had turned against you, now your own daddy had turned against you. And that was, daddy was always right there, right by my side. You know, if the devil would come, daddy would tackle him for I did, you know. That's the way it was. And then I had this situation, and the enemy's saying this, look at this. See, I got you now, boy. I got you now. Yeah, I'm going to shut your mouth. I'm going to shut your mouth. I'm going to put you out. I'm going to take you down. You ain't going to have a ministry. You just think you're in the ministry. I'm going to show you. Remember how he done us? You've been through some of this. You know what I'm talking about. Pastor Burley over here, he knows what I'm talking about. I mean, the devil just beat you over the head and tell you you're not going to make it. But what did I do? I decided I can't focus on the negative. Because I'm not going to get anywhere, because even though the devil was saying to me and the circumstances were saying to me were true. I mean, you just look around. I mean, you didn't even have to make them up. It was real. But the devil tries to take things like that and get you off the word. If you'll adamantly stand on the word and oppose every lie of the devil, you're going to come out on top every single time. I mean, every single time. But Job, see, instead of grabbing a hold to his mind, and I did, by the way, eventually things began. I'd like to tell you it was overnight how it happened, but it was, I heard one minister say that somebody said to him, looks like your ministry just went international overnight. He said it was the longest night I ever lived through. You know what I mean? But I remember when we was going through, one of the first turnarounds we got was my wife was at the office and we had to make payroll. You know what I mean? We didn't tell any of our staff or anybody what was going on. We didn't. We just hid everything, you know. We're believing God. Patty's believing God with everything within her. So what am I going to do? I said, just write the checks. We're believing God the money's going to come. Just don't give nobody a check, you know. We ain't got to give it to them. And so I think it was on a Friday, Thursday or Friday, somewhere right in there. And my wife called me. She said, guess who called? I said, who? She said, Pastor Stan Moore. Down in Miami Beach, Florida. You know Pastor Stan. Stan Moore. I'd been to his church as a guest, but not as a preacher, because Dad Hagin used to go down there and hold 2 and 3 week meetings, sometimes 4 week meetings. So I knew him, you know, casual acquaintance there, but I'd never been there. He told my wife it was important that he talk to me, gave her a number, and for me to call him back. Now, let me tell you how that came. I was walking around in our house out there on McKee Road. Did y'all get in that house on McKee Road in Harris County in Columbus? Did they ever make it out there? I think y'all did, that big house we had. But anyway, I was walking around that house with that big fireplace, and I was praying in other tongues. And I said to the Lord, because I was under so much pressure, but I was getting some victory in this thing, you know. Yeah. And I was under so much pressure about it. I said, Lord, if there's something that you've been trying to communicate to my spirit that I've been unable to pick up because of all this opposition and negative thoughts that's been attacking my mind, if I've been unable to pick it up, I said, have somebody tell me. And just it dropped right down into my spirit. Right. While I was turning, walking around that room, it dropped right. He said, somebody will call you today. Lord. That's what I heard. Lord. You know what I did? I quit praying. I got the answer. My Lord, he don't need to pray no more. I done prayed this thing through. And I had an old work truck with a 5-speed in the floor. Everybody needs one of them. And we had property down there, you know, 240 acres of raw land, you know. And it was kind of a truck we used down there, and it had some trash in it and everything the guys would use, you know, and haul things. And so I decided I'm just going to go clean the truck out, wash it, just get my mind off all of it, just do something, you know. So I went outside, started working, you know, and this when my wife called, and I answered. She said, here's the phone number he wants you to call. So I called, and it was this secretary. Said, is this Brother Randy Greer? I said, yes. She said, Pastor Stan Moore said, he needs to talk to you, needs to talk to you right away, and he wants your number, but he had to go into a business meeting, but he'll be out within 10 or 15 minutes. Can you give me a number that you're going to be at? I said, yes, this is my cell phone. So within 10, 15 minutes, Pastor Stan Moore called me on the phone. And Pastor Stan said, remember, I'm praying, and I'm believing God to come out of this. Pastor Stan Moore said this to me. He said, Brother Randy? I said, yes, Pastor Stan, good to hear from you. He said, do you believe that I'm a man of God and I can hear from God and I can get a word from God for you? I said, yes, sir. He said, do you believe that I am a prophet of God and I can prophesy to you? I said, yes, sir. Whatever you say you are, I believe it. I believe it. I'm just ready for the word. Give it to me. I said, Pastor Stan, I said, why are you interrogating me like this? He said, because you young whippersnappers said won't listen to us. Just done been down that road and we can save you a lot of trouble. I said, yes, sir. And he said, this is what your problem is. He said, you ask God to give you a solution to your problem financially, especially. Remember the devil's trying to beat me over the head of fear? I said, yes, yes. What is it? He said, your problem is you don't believe the prophet of God. Because if you believe the prophet of God, you wouldn't have this problem you're in. I said, prophesy, brother, prophesy. I mean, just skin me up one side and down the other. He said, this is the word of the Lord to you. He said, get the book, How God Taught Me About Prosperity. That's a little bitty mini book. He said, you live in that book. You meditate on that book. You act on that book after you believe that book. And he said, it's going to turn your financial situation around. He said, I am about to go on a cruise. And he said, the only thing I'm going to take on this cruise is my Bible and that book. He said, I have to have millions upon millions upon millions of dollars to operate these facilities I got around here. And I have to constantly build myself up in faith personally. He said, I don't preach this continually to my church, but I have to keep myself because I'm constantly being harassed in my mind. And it's saying that you're not going to make it, that you're going under, you're not going to be able to pay your bills. And he said, it looks like it a lot of times. Isn't that right? That's what he said. And he said, now, he said, the Lord told me to sow financially into your ministry. Well, that's the time you say, I don't doubt it, brother. He said, I need a FedEx address because I need to overnight this to you. I said, I'll give it to you. Get ready. Here you go. And he sent us several thousand dollars, which is a lot then, I'm telling you, especially in the situation we're in, several thousand dollars, and it came the next day. So I always say that God came in the FedEx truck. My God, he came in the FedEx truck. But in that same time that I'm talking to you about, that's when my mind was giving me trouble. I was being bombarded by thoughts of failure, thoughts of fear, thoughts of doubt and unbelief. You're not going to make it. You're going under. We all contend with these things. And it's the enemy that's doing these things to us. Isn't that right? And so that's exactly what happened to me. But I decided that I'm going to pray my way out of it and build myself up on most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And that's exactly what I did. And in the process of praying, not in fear, but in faith, as much faith as I had, that's when I got a solution to my problem. But let's look at Job again, since you're so interested. Don't pray in fear, pray in faith. So Job said in the latter part of Job chapter 1, verse 5, he said, for Job said, in the latter part of it, for Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their heart. Thus did Job continually. Remember, he prayed prayers for them continually, right? And they said they have sinned, they've cursed God in their heart. So you can see right away that he's got a sense and a spirit of fear, of doubt and unbelief about him. He thinks that his children are not going to make it. And so he's praying in the wrong spirit. He's praying in fear instead of faith. But you and I want to go on with God. Isn't that right? So let's skip down here and look at some verses here. It said, did it happen to Job just like God said it would? Yes, it did. Remember how Job's sons and daughters, how they lost everything he had, a family and everything, and all those things and attacks. But I want you to look at Job chapter 3, just to cut to the chase, because you know all these things, how he lost all those. But I want to see from you to see from his own testimony, because now he's got revelation about what happened and why it happened. In Job chapter 3, verse 25, this is what Job said. Job said, "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me." Isn't that what he said? "The thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me." Now that's a revelation that he got. Isn't that right? And we know how God turned it around for Job as he began to converse with God and pray, and God began to speak to him, and God began to give him instructions. And in the end, he had a lot more than what he had in the beginning. But how did he lose everything he had? Because he said that he greatly feared. Isn't that right? So fear, we are told, and it's the truth, is faith working in reverse. Whatever Satan can get you to fear, he'll bring to pass in your life. Whatever Satan can get you to have faith for, he'll bring to pass in your life. Every single time, you cannot get in fear, you cannot get in doubt and unbelief. I remember when our son was born. He's not here tonight, so I can tell it, because he don't like for me to tell a story a lot of times. But he was attacked as a little baby. And some of you heard these stories. And when he began to be attacked, I'm not going to lie to you. When the doctor called me in, Patty was still in recovery. She'll remember it. The doctor was standing on one side of her, standing on her left side. I'm standing on her right side. And because he had called me, what it is, I was back, you know, I was there at the delivery, you know, helping to deliver Randall, you know, cut his umbilical cord. And, you know, that's what I paid the doctors for. So now I want some money, you know, for doing all the job. You know, and I know where babies come from and all that kind of stuff. You know, I mean, Granny used to tell me that a stork flew over and dropped them. You know what I mean? But that's not where they came from. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to be vulgar. I'm just telling you, that's not where they come from. But so when he's born, everybody's oohing and aahing. The grandmamas are there and the granddaddies and certain family members are oohing and aahing over Randall, you know, when they put him in the little nursery and everything, you know, and I helped clean him up, all that. You know, they was training me from the beginning. Anyway, we are standing there, and I'm just walking the hall, you know, and just walking around. I don't know. We'd been sitting around, and here come my mother, and she's wringing her hands. "Oh, Randy. And all of a sudden, my mother-in-law, Patty's mother, came, and she's right close to my mother. "Oh, Randy." And I thought, "Oh, what is it? She said, "The doctor wants to see you. The doctor wants to see you." She said, "They came looking for you." I said, "Oh, I just went to the restroom. I was coming right back." She said, "He wants to see you. Go to the nurse's station." I said, "Well, what is it?" Oh. By then, just saying, oh. You know, then, but it's already, oh. I'm picking it up. Oh. You know, but what are they talking? It can't be good. So I get in the nurse's station. They said, "Oh, yes, the doctor wants you to come right here." So I went there. He said, "Son," he said, "come and go with me." He said, "We're going to recovery where your wife's at." He said, "I need to talk to both of you now." He said, "I believe in just straight shooting with you and talking to you." And I said, yes, sir. So I was thinking, what in the world? So he walked in. Of course, Patty's awake and everything, but still in recovery. And he walked on her left side. She's lying down there in the recovery bed. And I walk up on her right side. And the doctor said, "I just believe in telling you the truth. You know, I want to keep nothing from you." He said, "And just tell you that your son has problems." And he said, "He's got problems that's going to require surgery for him to live." He said, "He's going to have surgery within 24 hours or less." And he said, "We're going to have a surgeon come in, and this particular surgeon's got it done. And we got this problem, we got this problem, we got that problem." I mean, by the time he got through getting rid of the problems that he talked about that our son had, I'm telling you, you're talking about all the faith you got, it's leaking out of you. And so I'm standing there, and of course, by this time, Patty and I both, you know, have tears running our cheeks because you're hearing this news and it's not sounding good, you know, about your son and about your little baby. you know, just you know, an hour or so old, or if that much. And here we go. And the doctor's given us this report. And so in the end, all I could say was, I said, Doc, you know, we're just going to believe God. We're going to trust God. He said, well, that's good. Trust God. He said, you need to trust God. I said, you just do everything that medical science can do for our son. And we appreciate it very much. And everything you can, he said, well, I'm going to have to call in different doctors. I think one time we were seeing about 3 or 4 doctors a day or something. Different ones, the insurance didn't cover all of them. Little clauses, you know. Only covered one doctor a day, a specialist to see him. And so that's extra. And of course, God helped us out all that too. But eventually helped us out. But I mean, you're talking about fear gripping us. And we're standing there, you know, and we're praying together, my wife and I, and thinking, you know, God, what we're going to do. And so they bring her out of recovery and take her into a room. The doctor said, I'm going to keep you here at the hospital. Normally, you know, they just kick you out. You know, you stay there a little while and you're gone. Said, I'm going to keep you here at the hospital as long as I can because I know you want to be around your baby. And he said, oh, yes, we're going to be here one way or the other. You know, we're going to stay here. And so we got in the room when she was finally moved in there where we could get along. And we just joined hands with our folks, immediate family, her mom and daddy, my mom and daddy. And we just joined hands and we just prayed. And we said the name of Jesus. We claimed that everything that was wrong, God was going to turn it around. Now, the time that I'm praying this, I tell you, I had thoughts of fear and doubt coming through my mind. I even saw us going to the cemetery. I did. I mean, the enemy's doing this to me. But I would not allow those thoughts to dominate me. I would not allow those thoughts. Patty would not allow those thoughts. We just claimed the victory. Now, my head was giving me trouble. It did. It gave me trouble. It said, this ain't going to work. This ain't going to work. You heard what medical science says. But ladies and gentlemen, we believe God. We trusted God. Now we're giving the glory to God. God's word works. Now I wish I could tell you it was instant, but it wasn't. It was over a period of months, over into several years. But today, ladies and gentlemen, this is the one that was not supposed to live because God's word is true. He is alive. Isn't that right? And he's healthy and normal today. Healthy and normal. And we give God the glory. We give God the credit. We give God the honor. And I'm telling you, if you'll get a hold of the word of God and don't let go of it, but stand on it, you may have to fight the good fight of faith. I'm not going to tell you, you're not going to have to fight it. Fight the good fight of faith, you're going to come out on top every single time, and you're not going to fail, and you're not going to go under, and over Satan you're going to prevail. So those things that Satan's been attacking your mind with before you come to this meeting, it's time to lay them on the shelf right here tonight. It's time to decide that I'm just going to stand up to God, stand up to the devil in God, and I'm going to tell the devil that he is not going to dominate me. He's not going to control me, and I'm not going to be worried. Yeah. I'm not saying that we shouldn't think about what's going on around us, but I'm not going to worry, and I'm not going to get in fear because God is the one that's on my side. Yeah. And he's going to keep me. He's going to provide for me. He's going to protect me. He's going to watch over me, not only me, but my children, my family, our ministry, and all of our partners and our families and our friends. He's going to take care of us, and the devil is not going to win. And I don't care how big a fuss he kicks up or how much dust he kicks up. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And the devil cannot stop us, ladies and gentlemen. So don't be concerned, overly concerned, about what's going on in the world around us. The devil cannot fully take over. That's the way to say it. Fully take over as long as the church is here. He's only winning in certain sectors of society is because the church as a whole has allowed him to. But we have authority. We can hold back the darkness. It's out there. We know it's there. And it's rolling in. But we can hold back the darkness. We can hold back the judgment because I tell you, that darkness that's rolling in is judgment. God's going to judge this world. That judgment's going to roll in. But we can hold it back, not in every case, because there are certain people, you know what I'm talking about when it comes to individuals, there are certain people that's got to make the right choices and right decisions. But in our lives, we can hold back judgment. We can hold back things. We can see things coming, and God will see it, show us things to pray about and believe God for. So in this day we live in, don't pray in fear, pray in faith. Stay in faith. Stay on the positive side of believing God, and you're going to come out on top every single time. God's word is still true. And it's still just as true today as it was when He spoke it when He was on this earth. I'm talking about the New Testament and the words that Jesus spoke. And if we grab a hold to those words and don't back up off of them, in fact, I can just sense this in my spirit, some of you need to get a hold to some scriptures. Some of you need to get a hold to some scriptures about the issues you are dealing with and take those scriptures and quote them to the devil. I mean, quote them. I mean, don't have a conversation with him. You know what I'm talking about. But that's what Jesus did, remember? In Matthew chapter 4, he quoted the Word of God. Take the Word of God and quote it. Stand on that Word. Don't back up off of that Word. And as you do it, you're going to see the circumstances change. You're going to see the chains broken. And you're going to see deliverance come in every single area of your life. I'm talking about spiritually, physically, materially, financially, even educationally. God's Word will work for His children and those who will believe His Word. So it's time to take a stand. It's time to do what God says do. So let's do something. It's a good night to get started just like this, but why don't you just stand and let's pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.